Well, good morning. It's been a few months since I've been up here, but it's great to be back up here sharing with you this morning. And just a special thanks to our hosts on Friday at our Youth Progressive Supper, Ken and Irma and Frank and Teresa and Ike and Martha. It was great to be at your house. We even got Frank to wear a tie, which I've been told is it's a rare occasion, but it was great for all of you to host us, and we had a fantastic time. Some of you will probably notice my title on the topic of God meeting us in our chaos, and you wonder, why is he talking about chaos? It's Christmas. Christmas is about peace, right? Have you seen your December schedule? How many nights have you actually been home in the past 3 weeks? For myself, it has been few and far between. And as I pondered what to talk about this season, I thought chaos basically kind of sums it up for me. I have a short little video to show you here. It is absolutely hilarious. I found it the other day, so have a watch and enjoy. It basically sums up the season that I've been in. So.
Season's greetings. I love Christmas, but then, who doesn't? Christmas is great. But the thing I've learned after doing my job for so many years is this. Nothing so great should be easy. And that's where I come in. I'm Christmas Chaos. We've never met, but you know my work. I'm the unseen but ever-present force that stuffs your stockings full of stress and decks your halls with anxiety. I love to keep your calendar full with office parties and school plays, family dinners. I love to stuff your mailbox full of invitations to Christmas decorating contests and, I don't know, gift wrapping extravaganzas. Sure, you could just say no to all those things, but then you'd be a jerk and everyone would hate you.
What? You don't think these things tangle themselves, do you?
Sometimes you make my job too easy for me. Sure, you could have paid $10 extra to get the bike already assembled. You're too smart for that.
Ooh.
Doesn't mean I'm going to pass up a golden opportunity when it presents itself. This is Christmas Chaos reminding you that you could take a day off and relax, but then you'd be a jerk and everyone would hate you.
Sometimes life kind of feels like that, right? You wonder if someone's been messing with you, but December's been a busy month, and it's the schedule's been full for probably a lot of us, and filled with parties and gatherings and concerts and meetings and all sorts of things, and it's a schedule that's so full that maybe you've personally found it hard to. You've had people call you up and say, hey, we should get together. And you look in your calendar like, when? And it's been a tough month for getting together with some people. And what's the one word you hear consistently as you greet people in the store when you say, how are you? How has it been? Busy, right? That's a word that you hear resounding constantly for a lot of people, busy. And For some people, it's just a season of busyness, and for others, it's a lifestyle of busyness. Christmas is obviously a busy season, and it goes by quickly. It's hard to believe we're already at the 21st, and I've heard a number of people mention, I can't believe it's almost Christmas already, and it just feels like a few days ago we entered December. Some people love Christmas. I have one particular girl in my youth group who is... been counting down the days. She's probably counting down the hours now till Christmas, and it's a regular joke actually at youth group. We actually ask her how often it is till how many days it is till Christmas. But some people love Christmas, and others hate Christmas. For them, it's just a season of full parking lots and busy stores and lineups and bills and things like that, and. One group wants to push fast forward and just go to January. January just looks great. The schedule is clear and things are free and it slows down. And I was struggling to what to talk about here. And I said, as I said before, chaos kind of seems to be the month of December. And I thought to myself, there are those rare moments in our day where you take that little pause. And you have that little relief from chaos. And I think parents, you know what that is, right? It's that 10-minute shower in the morning when the kids are, yeah, kids. And just that 10 minutes to just have a little relief. And it's that pause in the chaos where God meets us. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk about this morning. And just imagine for a moment that, if you will, just how chaotic and crazy it was some 2,000 years ago when a little boy named Jesus was expected to arrive. There wasn't any shopping malls, and there was probably no Christmas parties or office parties or anything like that. But there was the craziness of angelic visitations and babies and travel. And this morning, just like last week, we're going to look at Matthew's version of this story. And rather than reading the whole section, I'm just going to read little parts of it, and we'll interact with it. So if you have your Bibles, we are in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. And this morning, we're going to look at a few characters and how they paused in a season of chaos. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and this is what it says. And I'm reading from the New International Version. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary pledged to be came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. We're obviously very familiar with the story here. An angel has an encounter with Mary and reveals to her the news of what is to come. Obviously, that is more in detail in the book of Luke, what's happening here. She's going to have a baby, and this is not just any baby, right? This is the Son of the Most High. This, of course, is a little confusing to Mary, right? She is a virgin. This is not going to be happening based on her own efforts. And it was going to be induced by the Holy Spirit. Mary, being a girl in her mid-teens, probably would do much what most young teens would do, would be scared, right, to hear this news. And I'm sure Joseph and Mary loved each other, and I'm sure one day they had plans to have a child in the future, but that was down the road, right? That was down the road, and this was probably very shocking news for them. Add to all of this the cold hard truth that adultery was a sin that was punishable to by death, and who was actually going to believe her story, right? Who's going to believe the story that an angel was brought this baby to you, and who would believe this story? All of this came to Mary, and she asked for none of it. And the one question that that I think was maybe resounding in her mind was, why didn't that angel pick somebody else? Why didn't that angel pick someone else? In this moment of chaos, rather than going through this by herself, she decides to take a really neat journey. She decides to seek the counsel of another woman who, in a really unique way, God also blessed her with a baby in it, and the two could relate in a time of pregnancy. And she heads for her cousin Elizabeth's house. and who is also pregnant. Mary takes, from my estimate, it was about 170 kilometers the journey, and probably with several others, she wouldn't have traveled on her own, obviously. And the journey would have taken probably about a week for her to travel. Mary arrived at Bethlehem and went to Zechariah's house to see Elizabeth, and Mary entered the house and greeted her cousin, Elizabeth. And at that moment, Elizabeth's baby, and I love the way that the scripture interprets the baby leaped, and just the sign of what is to come. The Holy Spirit induced this leap within the baby. And Mary says this, Elizabeth says this to her cousin, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will hear, you will bear." I can just imagine the anxiety for Mary going to visit her cousin. An entire week journey. You have an entire week to think about this, right? You have no clue how your cousin is going to react. You have no clue, is she going to shut the door and kick me out? Is she going to report me to the elders? And what is going to happen here? And I love the response that Elizabeth gives. No judgment here, no condemnation. She didn't cast her aside. She welcomed her in. And Elizabeth knew that this was the work of the Holy Spirit. She certainly knew that Mary was blessed. And I personally find it funny sometimes how God has this creative way to speak to us in certain moments. And God knew exactly what Mary needed, and she was terrified. She needed a friend in this moment. Not a judge, a friend. She needed support and encouragement, and God supplied her with both in the form of Elizabeth. Has God ever spoken to you through another person? And that person happened to say exactly what you needed in that moment, or just happened to be there right at that exact moment that you need. These are no coincidences. These are really cool appointments from God. And I sometimes call these the superstore appointments, right? You're shopping, you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden you bump into somebody, and a few moments of awkward small talk, and maybe somebody says something to you, and it just hits home and meets you personally where you need in that moment. You're just trying to get through the store, trying to get your shopping done, and you run into someone and you're just like, I don't have time to deal with this. And they say something to you and it just meets you exactly where you need. And you just wonder to yourself, how did they know? How did they know? How did they know that it's just been, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling stressed. How did they know this? And it is the work of the Holy Spirit that knows this. It is wonderful to be the Mary in those moments, right? To be the person that receives that wonderful blessing. To be the person that receives that special little visitation in those moments. It's wonderful to be the Mary in those moments. And suddenly your day drastically changes by someone being an Elizabeth to you. Someone caring. Someone saying something thoughtful and taking time out of their day to care for you. It is it's great to be the receiver of those blessings, but sometimes we are called to be the messenger, right? We are called to be the Elizabeth in those situations. And we find ourselves, but on occasion we're walking through the store and there's a whole lot of Marys out there. And there's a whole lot of need. And we, just like our friend, just want to get through the store. And we were short on time, and we just feel like we just want to get through the store. We just can't be bothered to stop for another person. But we never know what that other person is going through, right? We never know what that Mary is going through, what is going on in their head, what's going on in their life. And that appointment, those appointments are special appointments. And those are amazing appointments where God can use you to do awesome things. It could be easy just to pass by, say, hey, how's it going? Oh, good, we'll see you later. You know, but for you to stop, and obviously, you know, if you stop and talk to every person, you know, some of you maybe do that at Superstore, but to stop and talk to every person could really take a long time. But simply just to stop and to actually care, instead of passing by to care for them. Actually, this morning, I walked in and I shook Ed Zacharias' hand, and I have to thank him for this. He actually held onto my hand. I was walking by and he held onto my hand And it was good. It was very, I was encouraged because he wanted to talk to me, right? I was going this way and he stopped, he shook my hand and he talked to me. And I was, thank you for that, Ed. There is nothing written in scripture about Mary's journey to Nazareth, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But you have to wonder what happened on this journey. You have to wonder what happened. And based on Google Maps, 170 kilometers, roughly 33 hours of straight walking. And we know for sure she wouldn't have been alone. This was a long journey, but she probably joined up with others. And 7 days of journeying. Parents, now we have iPads, DVD players. There was nothing at that time, right? So you had to speak to people, which I know is crazy, but you actually had to connect with people. And but she probably had a lot of time by herself to think. And she had 7 days to think about what was happening inside of her, what God had done to her. And probably a lot of times to think about what was going on. And something inspired a powerful moment here with Mary. A powerful moment between Mary and God. And maybe it was the travel. Maybe it was the message from Elizabeth. And God met her in her season of chaos and met her where she needed it. And Mary records in Luke 1, 46 to 56, her Magnificat. I probably butchered the way to say that, but it's a song full of praise. And a woman who was in distress, she is now pouring her heart out to God in praise and thanksgiving for what he's done. And this is what Luke 1 says. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful to the humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary realizes that she is being used for something greater. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Does that sound like a woman that is anxious? Does that sound like a woman that's terrified? It sounds like a woman to me that feels honored to be in this situation. Mary put life on pause and reflected and remembered that God certainly is good. That this was a moment that God can use her. And Mary goes from a woman terrified to a servant full of praise. God met her in her moment of chaos and he changed her. And some of us are in a season of chaos, and for others, life is busy. It's chaos. And sometimes it's self-induced, and other times we're thrown into that by simply a phone call, a medical diagnosis, whatever the chaos that you are in, whatever season you were in, God will meet you in that chaos and he will deliver you through that. Many want to hit fast forward and simply skip through it, but I want to encourage you in that moment to hit pause and to reflect and to remember that God is good, that he will get you through this in his time. As you read the Psalms, occasionally you will see a random word on the side, and for the longest time I didn't understand what this would meant. And as I studied here, there's a word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. It is a Hebrew word. You'll find it randomly throughout the Psalms, and the Amplified Bible describes it as to pause and reflect, and. While singing the different psalms, there's obviously different interpretations about this, but I believe that David encourages the reader to stop and reflect on God's goodness. Don't just keep reading. Stop and think about what he's done. And I think this is a wonderful time of year to use that word, Selah. With all the meetings and parties and gatherings and everything, I say Selah. To pause and reflect on his goodness. To pause and reflect on what he has done for us. To pause and remember that we are blessed. Before I put the key in the ignition, just a simple pause to just reflect and to think that God is good. Before I get out of bed in the morning, a simple moment of pause to remember that God is glorious and to praise him. While Mary is praising God for his goodness, Joseph has just been delivered a bombshell that he really has so very little control over. News that has come completely unexpected, and Joseph is left with a very tough decision. Verse 19 in Matthew chapter 1 says this, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph believes he has two options here, to divorce her publicly and to basically have her killed, or to divorce her quietly and hopefully to save her life. So as a way not to expose her to the others. He decided that the quiet option maybe would be the best. But something happens here. Look at the start of verse 20. There's a word here, and maybe in different Bibles it'll say something. It says this, but after he had considered, right? I take that as a pause. He considered. He considered what was going on. Joseph paused. Instead of making a snap decision or the decision that was best for him, he paused. He weighed the pros, the cons. He took a moment to consider exactly what was going to happen. In that moment, God showed up and spoke a message through an angel and reminded Joseph of a third option. Continuing on in verse 20, this is what the angel says to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. God used a friend to speak to Mary, and here God uses an angel to speak to Joseph. God knew exactly what Joseph needed to hear. Seems to be a resounding theme. He was about to make a terrible decision. He was about to make a decision that only was about himself. And God stepped in and sent an angel and allowed and spoke to Joseph, and a remarkable thing happened here. He encouraged Joseph, stay with her, marry her, care for her. Imagine how different things would be if Joseph would have walked out. Imagine how different the nativity scene would be if there was only a mother and a child. Like Joseph, maybe some of you have some tough decisions ahead. Maybe it's medical, maybe it's business, maybe it's family, whatever it is. Rather than making a decision that's only about me, consider for a moment, and I say that word consider intentionally, for a moment, your choices. Consider what God has to say on the matter. Instead of making the decision by yourself, go to God. Go to him first. That pause, and I think we've all felt before that simple little moment to just stop and think, that could be just a remarkable pause that can change everything. The story of Mary and Joseph features a little boy, Jesus, that is on his way, and even though the angelic visitations are recent, don't be fooled to think that this was a last-minute decision by God to just respond to us in our chaos. He had planned for this to come for quite some time. Matthew 1:22, and we'll keep reading on our scripture here, says this, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Pastor Peter spoke on more intentionally on God with us, and that word fulfill, this everything that happened here was on purpose. This was to fulfill something. This wasn't just a crazy random events that happened here. 700 years before this, the story, God spoke through Isaiah. And he says these words, Isaiah the prophet says these words, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hundreds of years before this day, God knew that our world was in need of a Savior. He saw the despair, the sin, the chaos and disobedience, and he knew that it needed to be corrected, and only a little baby could correct this. And this is the moment where God stepped in and provided a solution to our problems. Instead of speaking through another man, instead of speaking through another angel, instead of speaking through a prophet, God stepped into the world as a man, Emmanuel, God with us. To this day, this is one of the things that Christianity that just absolutely floors me. I'm just marveled every time that I think about the fact that God had the knowledge to come into this world to connect with his people, right? There's other religions that have idols and things that sit on a shelf, and I can't relate to a statue, right? To imagine that Jesus walked not on this soil here, but walked on this earth and connected with people, right? He wasn't just like some prime minister who just kind of waved at people. He was touching people. He was eating with people. He was healing people. And he was doing all these things. And even with doing all these things, he still died for these people. It's a remarkable thing to me. And it humbles me. And this all started with a baby boy. Instead of staying an untouchable, unrecognizable figure, God came in human form to take a pause, not to reconsider, not to regroup, not to stop working, but to relate to his creation. He came into this world to relate to us. This wasn't a pause to stop working. I need to emphasize that. God cannot stop working, right? This was different. This is a different perspective for God. A chance to see and interact with his creation and connect with them. Philippians 2 verse 7 says this, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. By being in human form, he could relate to us. Many wonder if Jesus can actually relate to us in our situation, with him being perfect and sinless. As a child, he grew up, right? He was a child. He did things, right? As a man, he got tired. He got thirsty. He got hungry. In his final hours on the cross, we could see the toll of his human body. And clearly, his human body was failing him. And Jesus faced temptation, and he faced persecution, and he faced criticism, just like we as well, too. John Piper is quoted to say this, he became man in full so that he could save us in full. His coming to earth was more than just to relate to us. His eventual death paid for the sin of mankind. Galatians 4:4-5 says this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And it's not just enough in the moment to just pause and to return to life, right? It's not just enough to just simply pause and to just stay in the chaos. Our pause needs to stand for something. A momentary escape from reality can just bring that little bit of peace in a really tough situation. There are small escapes from chaos, but if chaos is in your life, it will still exist unless you go to God. Mary and Joseph used their pause to change their perspective. They used that simple little moment to reflect on who God is and what he has done for them, and to view life through a different lens. And their pause reunited them with God. In our pause, we need to go to God. In our chaos, we need to go to our Savior. We need to go to him to realize that he is the only one that can deliver us from these situations. It is in the chaos where God wants to shine. He wants to help you in your chaos. That he's just waiting for you to ask him to come in. It's in our chaos where we are humbled and our human limitations show. We get tired, we get cranky, we get selfish. We start to worry about ourselves. And instead of trying to find another gear and just get through the holidays, why not go to the one that provides us with so much and go to Jesus? The birth story of Jesus features, obviously, like I've said before, a lot of chaos, and chaos that potentially God could have avoided if he chosen different people. Maybe rather than a baby being born to this, as the Savior of the world, maybe a king could have been developed. Maybe instead of God picking a young, inexperienced mother, maybe God could have picked a mother that has years of experience, right? And wouldn't have stressed about these things. My daughter brought home a book for the church library, and it's kind of interesting. It's called This Is No Fairy Tale. And the story compares the fairy tale story of Jesus to the actual real story of Jesus. And after reading through the book with my daughter, it's obvious that God was very intentional in how he wants this story to be told. He takes weak people who can't do it on their own and uses them for his glory. He picks the weak because they know they can't do it on their own, and he uses them for his glory. In the fairy tale story, God would have picked an experienced mother, right? Someone who had it figured out, someone who's done it before, right? But someone who's done it before maybe wouldn't need God to get her through this moment. Rather than picking the rich, powerful, and experienced, he picked people that needed him. Instead of picking a king that had servants, he picked a baby that needed help, that needed to a mother. Mary and Joseph were in great need, and they needed the help of a Savior to deliver them through a difficult situation. We as mankind have been in chaos for a long time. We see the effects of our sin in this world, and just like the young couple daily, we are faced with a decision. Who are we going to serve? And we can choose to do it by ourselves, or we can go to God. And God may at times intervene with a friend to speak to you, or he may speak to you through an angel, or he may speak to you himself directly. Either way, God will meet you in your moment of chaos. And it's my prayer that we will see that we need Jesus and that a life without him is wasted. The irony of all of this, of the situation, is that we find ourselves... The irony of the situation is that Jesus came to bring us peace, but for many of us, his birthday only stands to bring us chaos. Jesus came to bring us peace, and it's my prayer that you would feel the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at this season. And in the chaos of gatherings and appointments and things like that, that you would not lose sight of what he has done for you and remember his goodness. This is a season to pause and rejoice that our Savior is born, a time to pause and reflect on what exactly it meant for the Savior to enter this world. I will pray to close, and after I pray to end the service, the worship team will come up to conclude our service, and then you'll be dismissed at the end of their song. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world to relate to us, God, because we desperately needed that. And Lord, I thank you that to this day that you continue to care for us and love us. And God, in our lives right now, Lord, many of us are struggling with things and experiencing chaos and a really busy season. And God, I pray that, Lord, through a friend, through an angel, or through directly through yourself, Lord, that you would speak to us in our moment of need. God, I pray that you would meet us in our situations, and Lord, that we can feel the peace of who you are in our situation, God. Amen.